What is going on, Met fans? Welcome to another episode of our New York Mets podcast. Look, we're going to jump right into this, man, because I came to talk Mets baseball. I'll tell you what, the first week of the season went one way. This second week of the season has gone another way. It's really night and day. Night and day. We start off the season 1-5, and then all of a sudden, we're, you know, we string off, you know, a 6-3 record, three straight series wins, one against the Reds. Then we go to Atlanta, beat down the Braves, and now we just finished taking 2 out of 3 from the Kansas City Royals. Two first place teams. We win those series against the Braves and against the Royals. So, baseball is funny. This is why they play all 162. This is why we play all 162. And, you know, I'm not sure where to start on this one. You know, we're going to recap the week that was for the Mets. Played the Braves, played the Royals. We're going to get into a little bit of Pete Alonso's numbers. Should the Mets consider a change in the lineup? We're going to get into that. Let's start off with, a quick recap of the Braves series. And look, if you listen to my episode last Sunday, I'm not a huge fan of moral victories, but I did want the Mets to go out there and compete against the Atlanta Braves. They did that and then some more. Even in the game that they lost, they were still able to, come from behind and make it a one-run game thanks to a three-run home run by Pete Alonso, I believe, late in that game. So they definitely gave themselves a chance, to possibly sweep that series from the Braves. I mean, that third game, it was almost like the Mets really wanted to put the pedal to the metal right there. And, you know, everyone can say, hey, we're celebrating April wins. But look, the fact of the matter is that the Braves were in first place. They still are in first place. The Mets are not considered a great team. And, it is what it is, man. We took 2 out of 3 from the Braves. I'll take it all day long. These wins, guess what? They will count towards the end of the season. So it doesn't matter if we win in April, if we win in May, June, July, whatever. Any win matters. And the fact that it happened in Atlanta against the Braves and we put up 16 runs on the Braves, I'll take that all day, every day. So very solid series from the Mets. They continue their good pitching. So I'm still very impressed with the pitching. I did not think that it would look like this 3 weeks into the season. We ended this week with a series against the Kansas City Royals, a first place team, another solid team. They have this decent pitching. I'm glad we didn't get to see Seth Lugo because I felt like he would just shut us down. But they got a good pitching staff over there, the Royals, and they got a very pesty, good contact making lineup. It was hard to go into this series against the Royals and really think that we were going to take 2 out of 3. But again, we got some decent pitching. I think Sean Manaea had the first real rough outing, if you will. We're not going to count Julio Teheran because he was just there for one start. But I think out of, the five guys that are going every 5 days, Sean Manaea had a pretty bad outing on Saturday. Things kind of fell apart there in the fourth inning. But again, overall, we're getting good pitching. And, the hitting is really starting to come around a little bit. There's still room for improvement from some of the hitters from approaching, from their approach at the plate. But, this is a series against the Royals that, Bobby Witt, the face of the Royals, you know, came in playing well, but he had a decent series, nothing spectacular. If anything, I felt that Salvador Perez had a more impactful series versus the Mets than Bobby Witt did. So that right there in itself is a win. We kept them off the base paths on Friday. Obviously, things got a little crazy there in the fourth inning on Saturday. And Sunday, you know, Jose Buhro really came in and impressed on a day that we were celebrating Doc Gooden. He had his number retired and in the rafters. So, you know, this is a team that the Mets really stepped up to and, you know, really took care of business. So that is really impressive. I think the Mets show that they're up for any challenge, and they are, you know, willing to fight to the very last out. I want to get into a little bit of Jose Buhro's start on Sunday, because, you know, to show up like that, this guy hasn't pitched in 10 days. And that was kind of worrying me. I'm not going to lie. It was worrying me because I felt like it's a long layoff. Obviously, I'm sure Buhro was throwing bullpen sessions, but it's not the same. So his last start came on April 4th. Against Detroit in that doubleheader, a very clutch performance because we needed those innings from Buhro, and he did very well. And then he didn't pitch up until today. So that's 10 days. And, you know, to not even make a start in between, at least in AAA, and then to come out and strike out 9 Royals, and really in the form that he did it, like, he ran into some trouble. He went into a bunch of 2-2 counts, and he found a way to, you know, to really stay even keel and not get rattled. You know, the guy is really a pit bull out there on the mound. I've been watching for Jose Buhro for some time now, and I've always thought he had the major league stuff. Enough to excel at the major league level. He just needed the experience. But, you know, I went and looked at his strikeouts today, and he had 3 strikeouts on the fastball, 2-2 count, 1-2 count, and then a full count. On the changeup, he had 5 strikeouts on the changeup. They were all 2-2 counts except for one that was on a full count. And then he had a strikeout with his slider on a 3-2 count. So, you know, I think it really shows the makeup of Jose Buhro. It shows that he can stand on that mound, and it doesn't matter the situation. He's going to go out there and, you know, really dominate and just basically not get rattled, man. There's not too much to say. It's not get rattled. Like, he really, really, really just shows a lot of confidence in his pitches. He's not scared to go inside, up and in. He had a few pitches where, you know, he kind of went up and in on these Royals hitters. And I think that's just kind of really setting up the hitters for that hammer and that changeup that he's got that is so, so, so effective. And I think having Francisco Alvarez, the Venezuela connection right there, is really important. And, you know, Francisco Alvarez is very important because we see the change of, you know, of pace and how the games are called when he's not catching. So I think that helps tremendously. But, I mean, big props to Jose Buhro. I didn't think he would pitch this well. He had 4 walks, I think, in his minor league debut. And then he had 3 walks on his start against the Tigers. So, I was like, he's got to limit the walks. He can't be walking 3-4 hitters, 1 or 2 maybe. But, I mean, he did excellent today. Couldn't really ask for any more. And the Mets really had a chance to, I think, kind of score some more runs in this game against Cole Reagans in the 4th and 6th innings. The Mets really had a chance to put up some runs, but, you know, they good throw from Melendez out in left field for the double play to end the, I think that was the 4th inning. And then in the 6th inning, you know, I think Tyron Taylor hit into a double play. No, Well, I forgot what happened in that inning, but we had runners on with only one out, and somehow we came away with no runs. A really good pitcher's duel on Sunday. I enjoy them for the most part. I get very nervous when the Mets are involved in them, but look, it's a really good ending to this week for the Mets. So they need to continue this. They need to continue to get really good pitching. We know then these guys are not going to pitch like this all season long. So it's important that the lineup really finds its groove. I think guys are really contributing. Like today was the top of the lineup. The middle didn't do so well. You know, you had other days where the bottom of the lineup performed and the top of the lineup didn't. It's just, you know, I feel like everybody is you know, putting in their pieces and really contributing to this little you know, 6-3 record that the Mets have had here in the past week. So, you know, we'll see, because the next series is they're still at home against the Pirates. The Pirates have an 11-5 record. They're second in the NL Central. They have a plus 24 run differential. They're also 8-3 on the road. But don't let that record fool you, because that includes wins against Miami. I think they swept that four-game series to start off the season. Then they played at Washington, and they split just now 2-2 against the Philadelphia Phillies. So you see, I think we're better than Washington and Miami. We may not be as good as Philadelphia maybe, but I think we should, you know, we should see a pretty solid series here between the Mets and the Pirates. You know, a few quick stats with the Pirates coming in. O'Neill Cruz, he's 2-for-23 in his last 7 days. 1 walk, 11 strikeouts. So the guy will hit plenty of home runs, but he's only batting 0.087 in the last 7 days. We got to find a way to keep him down in this series against the Pirates. Martin Perez, Jared Jones, and Bailey Falter are the pitchers scheduled to pitch for the Pirates. Bailey Falter, I think we're a little familiar with his days with Philadelphia. Martin Perez has a 1.89 ERA in 3 starts. He only has a 1-0 record, 4 earned runs only given up in those 3 starts, which tells me Pittsburgh's not giving Perez run support. So hopefully that trend continues. Jared Jones, the other starter for the Pirates in this series versus the Mets, has a 4 ERA in 3 starts. 25 strikeouts and 2 walks for Jared Jones. So, you know, hopefully he's not a lefty. I didn't look to see if Jared Jones is a lefty, but if he is, damn, we may be in trouble in that one. But 25 Ks, 2 walks, that's pretty impressive. So that's kind of recapping the week that was for the Mets. Let me know what you guys thought. I think we're trending in the right direction. But in order to keep trending in the right direction, the Mets might need to tinker the lineup just a little bit, because what I'm about to touch on here, you know, it goes hand in hand. You know, we moved up Lindor batting second. We started the season that way, and then we, you know, moved up Alonso to bat third so that we can give Alonso more opportunities, right, to drive in runs and all that good stuff. The problem is that Francisco Lindor is just not hitting well, okay? You know, I'm not going to get into the whole booing and standing ovations and all that, but the standing ovations, unfortunately, did not work this weekend. He did not have a good weekend. He's still slumping, man, plain and simple. He's not looking much better. And this is at the plate. You know, his glove work is always elite. It's always there. But at the plate, Lindor is just not doing it. So my question now becomes, should the Mets consider dropping Lindor in the lineup? Now, I'm not going to get into where should they put him, but should they consider dropping him? Because it's really affecting Pete Alonso in a way. You know, when I looked at Pete Alonso's stats and, you know, his hits and at what time of the game those hits came in, you know, he would have maybe a few more RBIs, and maybe that would be the difference in winning another game or two. At this point, we could be saying we're our record is 9-7 or backwards of what it is right now. If Lindor was getting on base, at least, like, he's not even getting on base. Now, the thing about Lindor is he's not striking out. He's not striking out a lot, which is a good thing, although that inside low inside slider is still killing him. But he's not striking out. He's just, the ball is just not finding the holes. Okay. So I looked at Pete Alonso's numbers, and Alonso in innings 8 through 9 has 4 hits, 4 home runs, 6 RBIs, and he's batting .367. I mean, those are pretty good numbers in these clutch innings, right? I mean, you almost need to drop Lindor if Alonso is going to be this RBI machine of ours, right? Because with 2 outs and runners on, Francisco Lindor has 14 plate appearances. He's 0 for 9, 2 walks. He's hit 2 ground balls, 5 flyouts, and he got caught stealing once. So he's just not producing with runners on. And it's, when the lineup turns over, he's got to get on base. He's got to get a hit. Like, it's super important. Like, if we want Pete Alonso to, rack up these RBIs and everything, then Lindor is just going to have to get on base. He can't be killing these rallies and, first pitch swinging is just, it's just out of hand sometimes with, and it's not just Lindor, it's a couple of other guys on the team as well. But I'm not sure where you put Lindor if you drop him. Like, do you move up Alonso third and put, Alvarez fourth and then go Lindor and Beatty? I'm not sure about that. But again, I looked at Alonso's stats here, and there was a game they were behind 5-7, bottom of the ninth, and, he comes up with an RBI, right? I'm not sure if Lindor was on base for that game. That's a game against the Brewers, but I'm going to guess and say that he wasn't, because his on base, Lindor's on base percentage is kind of weak right now. So, imagine if he was on base, right? Who knows? Maybe the Mets tie that game. Like, we're behind it in a lot of these games, and Pete Alonso is really coming through, racking up the RBIs. So he can't drive in Lindor if Lindor is not getting on base. If he's not getting on base often and in key situation, then it does Pete Alonso no good at all. I think the conversation needs to be had. I'm not sure how much longer the Mets are willing to go with a slumping Lindor. Like, are they willing to go all of April with Lindor struggling like this and not even consider or, making a move? I'm not sure that's a good idea. I'm pretty positive the Mets are banking on Lindor to turn it around, and I'm sure he's got a longer leash than other players would have. But man, at some point you really gotta just make the move and see what happens at this point. We can't be hurting our chances, especially when the way our offense has come around lately. It's like it's almost like Lindor's the only one not hitting well. Obviously there are the guys, but they're contributing here and there. But I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Should the Mets consider dropping Lindor in the lineup? Pete snapped his four-game multi-hit streak today. He went 0 for 2, but he also had 2 walks. Pete is not swinging at junk as much as he's been in the past few years. Very patient at the plate. So that's really good to see from Pete Alonso. He looks like he's more chill at the plate. You know what I'm saying? You're not getting the frustrations look from Pete Alonso. So that's good to see. Who else? Look, talked bad about DJ Stewart in my last episode last Sunday, and since I did that, DJ Stewart is 4 for 14. He's got 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. So I guess shout out to DJ Stewart. He had a pretty good series against the Atlanta Braves, and I don't expect that to continue for too long, because I just don't think he's very good. But hey, I'll take it. You know, he's contributing. I mean, DJ Stewart has contributed more than Francisco Lindor has. That is a problem right there, people. That is a problem. That's pretty much all I have for this episode. The Mets just need to really get their hitting in order. There's still some guys like Jeff McNeil swinging first pitch, although he looks a lot more chill at the plate too. So I wonder if that has anything to do with Eric Chavez being back as the hitting coach, because that's a guy there that when he's on, he's on. I think he had a nice little hit streak going, 4 or 5 games here until he went hitless, I think these past 2 games, but he's done much better. Marte has also been playing very well, although I don't. They got to start DH and Starlin Marte, especially on days where the wind is kind of wacky out there in right field. He cost us a few runs on Saturday. So, but he's hitting the ball well. So, obviously we would like to keep his bat. I would like to keep his bat up there. I think Tyrone Taylor is the play in right field, and you DH Starlin Marte. Keeps his legs a little fresh, maybe calls for a couple steals here and there. So I like that they DH Starlin Marte on Sunday. What else? I had one more. I can't recall what it is. And but yeah. So let me know what you guys think about this episode, how you guys are feeling about the Mets going into this series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Huge turnaround from the Mets, man. Compared to how we started to how they look now, it's really night and day. They have to be consistent. We can't have a drop off. You can't have, at this point, we're hovering 500. We can't go on a 4-game losing streak, Maybe wait till we're 10 games over 500 or something like that, but you can't have a 4-game losing streak. So it's real important that we get these wins against the Pirates, because I believe after the Pirates we go on a little West Coast trip that includes the Dodgers. I'm not sure who else, maybe the Giants, but I know it does include the Dodgers on the front end of that West Coast trip. So these are, all the games are important, okay? But again, just looking ahead, going into LA, playing a very good, solid squad like the Dodgers, these games against the Pirates become even more imperative that the Mets win some ball games. So once again, thanks for tuning in at our New York Mets podcast on Twitter, and check for me on the next one.